This is the Leapcast, where we talk about how today's current events impact your real life. If you are tired of politics, or you are just exhausted from the spin, this show is for you. My name is Andrew Lieb, and every week I host a talk radio show breaking down the news from an independent point of view. We discuss real estate, business, and your health, hear from the experts, and learn the truth on the Leapcast.
Personal coach and trusted attorney, Andrew Lieb.
Hip hip hooray!
What are we hooraying for?
Donald Trump is back in the media.
You mean the Florida man?
The Florida man. That's what it said on the Times.
Was it Post, actually?
Oh,
was it
front page I think they the both Post? Did it. I think they did. I thought so. What would it say, Morty?
It said on the. It was not even on the. It wasn't on the front page. It was on the bottom of the front page of the Post. It said. Turn to page 26, Florida man announces he's running for president.
Yeah, I went to Fox News and they buried it too.
But
and
it's better. It's not the
title. The title was, when you went to page 20, if you could find page 26, the title was, been there, don that.
Ah, that's awesome. I like who put that one together. They deserve a star.
But I disagree, Lorna, what you're focusing on. Like, I think the best part is that he's now known as Florida man. Like, I think that's what everyone should just refer to him. You know how he gives everyone else nicknames? And I don't know if you saw that Jeb Bush tried to call him, like, one of those stupid nicknames like Trump does. And it didn't ring to me. It was like he was, like, tired or dreary or I forgot what the word Jeb Bush did. But I think, like, you can have a whole song about Florida man. Like, it could be fabulous. Like, the Gators are coming. Like, there's a lot going on in Florida. We could talk about the swamp. We could talk about how I'm schwitzing. It's so
or
hot.
Or the python ate the alligator.
It's like, did you see that?
Yeah.
Morty, did
crazy.
You see this?
No, what happened?
They cut open a python from the Everglades, and there was a full fucking alligator. And you have to say fucking when you talk about there was a
like
full
a
fucking alligator.
Like a real one, not like a baby one. A
yeah.
real
like
full
6 feet.
Why did they cut it open? Because I saw it was like bumpy.
You don't just see yourself a big snake and you're like, I'm going to cut this shit open?
No, I don't.
You know, you need to get out more, man. That's what all the cool cats are doing
Andrew,
right
your
now.
Your language today. How many cups of coffee
well,
did you have?
I'm going to tell you what happened. Lauren and I are going in... Complete objection by me. I just want you to know for any of my IU alumni, we need to know, go IU, fight, fight, fight. She's dragging me to this hellhole called Michigan this weekend.
University of Michigan, go blue. It's 15 degrees out.
Yeah, so she said to me in the car, I'm going to get to the point of why I'm tired, but she said to me in the car that I didn't get into Michigan. She pointed that out. And I'm like, I didn't apply to Michigan. And now that you know that it's 15 degrees in November, why did you apply to Michigan? Like, I'm thinking you need to go to, I don't even know why I went to Indiana. That
she
might be
to Buffalo this weekend.
Oh, screw yeah. that.
6 feet of snow.
Oh, my goodness. Oh,
live there.
And the problem with Buffalo, Morty, isn't the 6 feet of snow. I could get behind 6 feet of snow. It's that it's flat. There's no mountains. Like, there's no good mountains
so
anywhere
gonna,
near Buffalo.
If you're going to have snow all day, you have to at least have some sort of winter activity.
Yeah, yeah. Like, think about, like, Utah. Like, they made Park City all about the fact that they have the best snow. So if Buffalo, with this lake effect, had a mountain, a beautiful, big, luscious mountain, it wouldn't be considered New York's, like, 19th city of importance. And so, like, in Long Island, and Morty, you're a Jersey guy originally.
I am.
So did you have friends that were like, when you were like, I'm going to the city, did anyone be like, do you mean Buffalo?
No.
Like, that was just never no.
I didn't think I knew Buffalo was in New York until much later in life.
The only reason I knew about them is when we were growing up, they used to play the Cowboys every year in some major, amazing, Doug Flutie.
Yes.
So I knew about him from Doug. I was trying to explain to
Doug Flutie. How old are you?
Yeah, duty. So I was trying to.
I don't even know who that is.
I was trying to explain to my son that one of the advantages of being into sports is you know every city in the United States.
It's true.
But anyway, let me tell you what happened. So last night we packed, and we're doing the cast today because we're leaving straight for the airport to go watch Michigan, who I believe is undefeated, play Illinois.
They're undefeated this year?
Yes.
Yeah. Then they're going to play the Illini, which is good and bad because it's Illini stink. And so in an unbalanced game when it's like frigid, I'm probably going to either need to be very intoxicated or leave. So
give us 25 minutes.
If it was a nail biter.
No, but I actually have been to a game at the Big House when
was
I was
it
in college.
15 degrees when you went?
It was very cold, but what they do when they score a touchdown is they take somebody in their section, they throw them up that amount of points that they scored.
You could be that person,
then you'll be warm.
Oh, but okay.
Here's the question, Morty. If you go to the game and it's a good game, like if they were playing another top team.
Ohio State.
Yeah, then I think we stay the whole game and we'd be into it. But like, I think Illinois is going to get blown out.
You know what the key is to stay warm at these games?
Drinking.
No. Because if your feet are warm, your body's going to be warm.
Oh, so extra socks?
So have Lauren rub my feet?
Not just extra socks.
No,
put
I'm not
a baggie on your foot first.
Lauren, you're going to rub my feet.
A baggie.
Screw that. You're rubbing my feet every 5 minutes.
On your foot and then put a sock on. I'm telling you, it works. I tried it.
Really?
I looked it up online before I went to a Giants game years ago.
I would slip.
What type of bag? Like a supermarket old bag that's discontinued?
What's a big baggie?
Well,
like a cotton baggie?
I'm only asking because they don't allow you to get the plastic bag at the supermarket.
Right, that's
so
true.
I wanted to know if I could put the paper bag on it.
I looked it up online and it worked.
All right, Morty. I'm going to try it. Remind me after the podcast to bring two Ziploc bags from the office. I'm going to take a picture. I'm going to post it on our Listen to Leave Facebook page.
So anyway, we get ready. And last night, we're sleeping. We're coming in early because we got to do the Leibcast, get it prepped, go. And my son throws up last night at like 4 in the morning.
So I guess you need the baggie for something else.
I need the baggie. And he did good. He got it not on the wall or on the floor, but he got it in the sink. And not to make you all nauseous too, but I had to I had to snake the sink at like 4 in the morning. So I'm all sorts of exhausted to go back to why I'm not like making sense.
You know what you did that was so smart?
What?
You took the garbage out at 4 in the morning. He forgot to take it out last night, but he remembered at 4 in the morning. So maybe, you know, it was really good about the throw-up situation.
Well, I don't know. But I have some very interesting things happening in the world. And I'm a little disappointed that the Trump show's back in town because, as we all know, he sucks the air out of everything.
You know what I was thinking? Why doesn't one of these rich people who are now like throwing money at like DeSantis or other people to beat Trump, why don't they all put their money together and send it to these media outlets to not air anything by Trump?
And you're so right. But Morty, you're right. And I think DeSantis actually said it. You always talk about how good he is politically, but he didn't respond to Trump for so long when Trump attacked him. And when you respond to Trump, that you get no win from responding to Trump. You're much better ignoring him. He's like the bully that you're like, he bullies you in high school and you're just like, keep walking. And he doesn't know what to do.
Keep walking.
Just keep walking. And so I don't want people to miss out on, I have multiple important newses. And so I'm going to give you the litany and then we're going to go into them because the Trump show shouldn't take it over. First of all, I'm happy to report that it seems right now that the bomb that hit Poland was not by Russia, and we are not going into World War, whatever war we're in now, because I was afraid of World War III happening when, I don't know if you saw, Poland got a bomb.
Yeah, but I thought, and maybe I didn't see the latest, but I thought it did come from Russia, but it was inadvertent. It wasn't like aimed at Poland.
So what I'm hearing now, and it's not conclusive, is that a Ukrainian missile defense is what caused it to hit. And so that's what I'm hearing. And the better news, and I don't care about the exact things, is I'm not hearing the U.S. president. Remember when George Bush went on after 9/11 and like was going to war?
Yep.
I'm not hearing Biden declare that nukes are going at Russia right now because that's just not what I needed today.
Like, all right, so we can go to sleep tonight.
So we're moving on from that. That's not a big one. But there's two huge stories and then two okay stories. So I'm going to give you them and you're going to pick out which ones are the one. There's good ones, ready? So for Morty and I, and for victims all over, we're thrilled that the New York State has figured out the most important thing to do for anyone that's been a victim anywhere.
Which is?
They're creating a soccer stadium in Queens. Did you see this?
I did.
Yeah.
It's not just a soccer stadium. There's affordable housing. There's a hotel they're building. They're building a whole complex.
And we're about to get the towel. You spin it around. Like you said that Michigan pushes the people up in the air, but I think, I don't know if that's going to work in soccer because they never score. Like
right,
it's all
true.
Like one person,
I think soccer would be so much better because I know the World Cup's coming up next week in Qatar.
Yeah.
If they made the field smaller.
That would be good.
Like, it's ridiculous.
So have you ever
played? 90% of the game doesn't matter.
Have you ever played the indoor game? It's called futsal.
No, it's not.
It's like soccer. indoors, smaller, and you kick it off the walls, kind of like in like a ice hockey, but no ice. That would be actually funny though. Soccer on ice, that would be kind of entertaining.
I like watching my son's youth soccer game. It's like 20 goals.
I think that's much better.
They don't move at the goalie.
I think that's much better.
Well, there's no goalie.
All right, so, but I need to get into the real important stuff. So, number one, and this is really important, and Lauren, I don't know what you think about it, but Wednesday of this week, the House passed a bill that was already passed by the Senate and the federal, which is amazing since we're going into this lame duck. So they have to do some good things right now. And there's two major pieces of legislation, but one I think is much more important than the other, and I'll tell you what they are. And you may disagree with me, but I think the first one's more important because I think it's like necessary. So it's called the Speak Out Act. Have you heard of this? And it prohibits the judicial enforcement of a non-disclosure clause or non-disparagement clause agreed to before a dispute arises for sexual assault, sexual harassment, even if it's just a violation of state law, not federal law. So it says you can't – and this, why is this so important? This is,
I don't really understand.
I'm about to explain it. So a lot of employers – or the Trumpster. Remember when the Trumpster.
Stormy.
Yeah, no, but what he did is he made everyone sign these non-disclosure agreements, non-disparagement agreements when they worked at the White House. And that was before there was a dispute to have a dispute about.
Right.
So, like, you could have a boss that says to work here in your terms and conditions of employment, sign this non-disclosure, non-disparagement. And joining the Senate, the House, and now it's going to go to Biden's desk. It's going to be signed, the Speak Out Act, Lauren. It just got passed, is saying, hey, listen, we know that one of three women has faced sexual harassment in the workplace during her career. That's an estimated 87 to 94% of those, of the three women, one in three. 87 to 94. Do you know what they never did, Lauren?
What?
Never filed a complaint because they were afraid of retaliation. So we're saying one of three women, so 33%. And then we're saying like almost 90% of that 33%, which is about 30% because it was 87 to 94. So 30% of women who work were sexually assaulted but didn't complain about it because they were intimidated about the repercussions or because things like they had a non-disparagement and a non – so a big thing when we talk to people in discrimination law – even yesterday, witnesses, Morty, they said, is anything going to happen to me?
I get that all the time.
If my name goes down as a witness. And I go, just the opposite. If your name goes down as a witness, you are completely protected. And if your name doesn't go down as a witness, it's possible that you're a witness or you're not a witness. But if you put your name as a witness in a formal legal proceeding, then it's a beyond reproach you're a witness. And it says in the statute, if you witness or you complain about harassment, let's assume you got harassed at work, Lauren.
Okay.
And let's assume you're not sure or you think it's harassment. Your girlfriends think it's harassment. You go complain. You make a complaint. Mm-hmm. Turns out not harassment as far as law goes, right?
Yep.
And because federally that means it has to be severe or pervasive conduct or has to be a quid pro quo, meaning something for something. Forgetting New York State for a second where it's almost always harassment. But let's assume you're wrong. If they do anything to you, they take away your wages, they take away your shifts, they take away your overtime, they don't give you extra opportunities to advance your career, they just... and we have clients that get this all the time, impliedly call you out in meetings. They make you feel targeted just from the simple fact that you complained, you're protected. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? So this
you're
law-
protected, though, meaning that you can, if that happens, you can proceed with a lawsuit.
You can have another lawsuit even if you weren't actually harassed. But that's not what this law is about. This law, and this is why I want to get a point. This law says a non-disclosure agreement. So, like, you work at a job. Morty writes these in the policy manuals all the time. You work in a job, Morty.
Yeah.
And you're working in the job, and in the job, it says you can't talk about what happens here. Non-disclosure. No, you can't tell anyone unless it's publicly available. You can't tell no one what happens. And by the way, you can't say bad things opinion-wise. So non-disclosure is about facts. Non-disparagement is about opinions. You can't go say, hey, I hate this place. They're jerks. That's what a non-disparagement does. A non-disclosure says – You can't be like, Johnny said to Tommy at work, blah, 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 blah. Do you understand? Like, it's just a different thing. So this new law that they just passed is to limit judicial enforceability, meaning a court will not enforce NDAs, non-disclosure agreements, non-disparagement agreements, if they relate to sexual harassment or sexual assault, if they pre-dispute, if they're before it happened, meaning you, the Trumpster, this is what he was notorious for. Do you remember in the White House? He made everyone sign these NDAs and everyone was like, I don't know if they're enforceable. It was questionable. But this is saying it's net. Lauren's looking at me like,
what? Now you're saying they're non-enforceable.
Well, I'm not saying all NDAs are non-enforceable.
For sexual harassment.
I'm saying for sexual harassment and sexual assault as soon as Biden signs it.
Yeah, prior to a dispute arising. So if you have a claim of sexual harassment and you settle the claim with your employer, federally, correct me if I'm wrong, even if this thing is signed by Biden, that can still be enforced. New York might be a problem.
But well, I don't think it would be a problem in either.
Pre-dispute.
Just to be clear, it wouldn't be a problem in New York either if you wanted it to be a non-disclosure. Correct. I just want to put that out there. So, but the point that we're making is that, and it's really important. So Trump was renowned for preemptively silencing his opposition. Preemptively. Mm-hmm. Hey, you want to talk to me? You want to work with me? Sign these agreements on day one. Non-disclosure, non-disparagement. You can never say bad things about me. If you do, I'm going to sue you for $1 million. That's just an example. Yeah. Then you get to work.
And you're
Someone grabs you on the ass 3 times. Someone calls you hot chick 3 times. Mm-hmm. Someone says to you, we're going to make you sit in front without your shirt buttoned all the way up. Someone makes comments all the time about you're a whore. They say things like this. This happens, just so we're clear. And you go, wow, I really want to do something, but this is wrong. And you go to your friends and they go, well, what should you do? And they're like, well, maybe you should complain. You go, but I signed these documents that said I'm going to owe $1 million if I tell anyone what's happening in the workplace. Mm-hmm. What this is saying is any agreement you made before the events, before the bad thing happened, mm-hmm. as it relates to sexual assault or sexual harassment, you could say whatever you want.
Okay, everybody, so you're going to get to gossip away about everything that happened at
work. No, it's not gossip at work, and although that does apply, it's so you can make a complaint, so you can go forward. It's like
the sad thing is that a lot of these people don't want to do it because they still feel like they could lose their job, and they need to. They need
but that's
money.
What I'm trying to tell you. You can't lose your job. That's the whole point. If you lose your job, they're going to – if someone loses their job after they complain about sexual harassment or sexual assault, a judge will issue an order like that week.
Okay, so they don't have to wait 3 years. In a lawsuit?
No, you're going to get an order from the judge. But that I'm not trying to. I think you're trying to make this class, this conversation, into I think you're trying to make this conversation, Lauren, into a question and answer. Like you're trying to educate people, and I'm not doing a lecture series on.
I'm just trying to educate myself.
Well, no, you're not trying to educate yourself. You're like trying to prompt me with Andrew. Now teach them about this, Andrew. Now
I'm thinking about all of the women in my life that have at some point said to me that they're feeling harassed by somebody at work, but they don't want to ruin the good thing that they have at work.
And so that's what we're trying to address. So it's and Cheryl. Girl just popped in because she heard us talking about sexual harassment. She goes, that's my bag, baby. And she walked right in and she's like, so Cheryl, I just want to tell you what we were just talking about because maybe you can add some light to it. On Wednesday, yesterday, because this is Thursday, a special Leapcast. We're all screwed up on dates and times. I'm not even sure what we're doing next week with Thanksgiving. I ordered ribs because I'm going to make an addition to my actual meal, and I may have to be heating the ribs during a Leapcast broadcast. I don't know what I'm... Anyway,
nice.
Back...
Can we eat ribs during
we
the
should,
broadcast?
We should. Nice beef ribs.
We should get your uncle to do that.
Oh, forget him. He doesn't make a good rib. His rib stays on the bone. I like my rib to fall off... Anyway, back to where we are. So we were talking about the Speak Out Act. And we were talking about that it passed the House, already passed the Senate, going to Biden's desk. And we were talking about that it prohibits the enforceability of pre-dispute, non-disclosure, and non-disparagement agreements when the dispute involves sexual assault or sexual harassment. And I was trying to say how important that is because last week on the Leapcast, we are into people debating policy solutions to problems, as opposed to the Trumpster who's now back in the limelight calling people names, although we're now calling him Florida Man. That's his new name. So we're not even, I don't know in the future if we're going to use the word Trump. We're just going to be like Florida Man said, because that's now his name. He's Florida Man. I would have called him old and decrepit out to caca Florida Man, but that's a whole nother statement. I think he's an out to caca. I think we should have just said Florida Man out to caca man. Everyone know who. Anyway, but back to where we are. I think that there is a problem, and I think this is a good solution, and we're talking about it because I think the future of our country is dependent on the legislature identifying problems and talking about if this is the best way to solve the problem. And we can fight and disagree if we're conservatives or liberals of the best way to solve a problem. Mm-hmm. And we can also fight if it's a problem in the first place. But we should stop calling each other names except when we're talking about Florida Man.
Right.
So Florida Man gets just names.
Exception to the rule.
There's an exception. Always there's – well, I'm a lawyer. So rule, exception, exception to exception. We'll get to that. But that's a different day. Anyway, so the problem is that we're identifying victims of discrimination, targeting sexual harassment, sexual assault, although I wouldn't have. I think that's a mistake by this legislation to make it about just sexual assault or sexual harassment. I think there's all sorts of victims that are afraid of discrimination. And so anyway, victims of discrimination, I see as the problem, are afraid to speak out for two reasons. Number one reason, which they're not addressing right now, it's already legally addressed, but no one talks about it, is they're afraid of retaliation. And I don't know how many times I have to tell people that if you get retaliated against, you'll get an injunction back in your job if you want it. You'll get damages for the retaliation. Like, they can't do anything to you. But the second issue, and we were discussing, is, and the Trumpster was renowned for it, he would make people sign NDAs, non-disparagement agreements, non-disclosure agreements, before they started their job. Like, welcome to Stop and Shop, sign this. Welcome to McDonald's, sign this. Welcome to Target, sign this. If you don't sign this, don't work. And so then what would happen is that they would be victims in work of someone would grab their tush. Someone would say something naughty to them. Someone would offend them. Someone would rape them. And then they would go, oh, shoot, when they're talking to their friends.
But I signed something.
Well, it's not even I signed something. It says I owe $1 million if I go say this. It says I owe $500,000 because they had big penalties. That's called a liquidated damages clause. And it would be a way to quiet victims of discrimination. And so what I like about this bill is I think it's a very good bill to say these things are unenforceable, number one. But I have two problems with the bill, and I want to just raise those problems. Number one, I think it's offensive to someone who's a victim of anti-Semitism. I think it's offensive to someone who's a victim of race discrimination. I think it's offensive to someone who's a victim of disability discrimination. Sexual assault and sexual harassment are terrible, wrong, and awful. But it's also awful to go make the person who has mental disabilities sit in the closet for a day.
Well, isn't it easier to get one thing passed at a time?
Well, I think that they should make it of it's one thing, but they shouldn't have used the word. See, it would have been the exact same thing. Instead
why,
of writing,
why would people object to it if it was if it said disabled or
yeah? Well, I don't think it should have said that. I think it should have said involving any victim of discrimination under federal, state, or local law, as opposed to involving sexual assault or sexual harassment in violation of federal, tribal, or state law.
New York State did the same thing. They started with just harassment, but then
they expanded to other ones. Yeah. So I think they get a fail on that. That's the first part I want to say, because I think that by doing it, you're implicitly endorsing non-discrimination agreements, I mean, not non-disclosure agreements and non-disparagement agreements as that group. And then here's the second thing. When I read this thing, and I maybe I'm wrong, but I'm looking for it. I've read it a few times, and I don't seem to see anywhere in it. But I see two problems. Number one, there's no damages when someone makes you sign one of these things. So what's going to stop them from doing it and preventing people to do it? And by doing that, aren't they then quieting people even if they're unenforceable? And number two, there's no availability of attorney's fees to sue to make it unenforceable. So I see that
no one's going to know what if they're signing if it's enforceable.
Well, that's my whole point.
Yeah.
So my whole point is it should be like the Department of Labor can enforce, or whatever it is. Yeah. I guess it wouldn't be Department of Labor because it's not restricted to employment. Right.
But if you compel your employees to sign this,
X, or you Y, compel Z, anyone yeah. to sign yeah. it. If you compel anyone to sign it, you get a fine of this, and the person who signed it can bring a private right of action. They can recover damages of this, and their attorney will be paid for. Like, I think that's how you stop it.
Well, it should be that they're allowed to have a – you can't talk about trade secrets of my company, but if you are harassed in any way because of a protected class, then it doesn't count.
There you go. Yeah. That's what I'm trying to say. Yeah. But I think this is a fail by the government overall, so I want to talk about why it's a fail. I think that the it's exciting times. I think that the government fails on something all the time. It's a retaliation thing too. They like to tell you that the EEOC, Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, or Department of Justice, or in the state, the divisions of human rights, that they're going to help you for discrimination issues. And they don't point you to private attorneys. And I'm going to tell you why that matters. Because I don't think that they have the budget or the PR capabilities to properly educate the public, the government alone, with respect to anti-retaliation laws. And so by making it a us thing and deflecting on the fact that there's a fee shifting mechanism where private attorneys can be paid, you're de-incentivizing private attorneys because you're over-talking them doing it from putting out public and there's restrictions on attorneys' ethics on what you can do and what you can't do. But you're restricting attorneys from going out there and telling the public that you can't get retaliated against. I think they should do it just the opposite. Like, they should give a bonus award if someone's retaliated against. We need to emphasize, I'm telling you another problem, and I don't know what the solution is. We need to give something extra to a victim who was forced to write a pre-dispute NDA or non-disparagement. But we also need to give something extra to a victim who was retaliated against, as opposed to the person that was just the victim of harassment. And the reason why is that those two issues, what did I say before, this bill says, 87 to 94% of those who experienced sexual harassment never filed a complaint. That's about 90%. And one in three women were harassed at work, which in my math says about 30% of working women, that's the amazing part, didn't complain, which means we have to do something. I'm identifying the problem. The problem is, how do we get 30% of working women who were harassed or assaulted at work to voice and not get harassed or assaulted at work? And I'm telling you that this is a good step along the way. But shouldn't they, and this is what I'm trying to understand, shouldn't they also be saying, it's not just the women, it's everyone who's been discriminated against? That's one thing. But number two, how do we say that if you get retaliated against or someone does this preemptive thing, they get penalized for doing it? And how do we PR tell the world? Like, you might, and when I started this, when Cheryl was walking on Lauren, you were looking at me like, boring. Like, that's honestly the face I was getting when you started asking me legal questions about it. But I see this as a calamity, like a terrible situation. 30% of women who get assaulted or harassed at work are not complaining about it.
I believe it. It's crazy.
Not 30% that get it.
Well, there's a little upside to the complaint. That's why.
I said it wrong a second ago, though. I want to clarify. It's not the 30% of women at work. It's 30% of women at work have been harassed and are not complaining about it. I want to be clear. And what did you just say, Cheryl?
It's not worth complaining. The upside to the complaint is just not there.
Especially when you are scared, and you're scared because you think that you're going to owe money on this NDA, you get sued. They sue you, even because there's no attorney fee shifting.
Right. Even if they fire you, and you claim retaliation, it could be 3 years until you see a penny.
It's like a major, major, major problem.
And a lot of people who work, they've been working there for a long time. They don't remember what they signed when they started working.
But I'm going to tell you what I've learned. When you don't know what to do, you always look to the strippers.
What?
No. Because the employees don't have power. And I want you to know.
So the strippers do.
Well, the strip club, there's the first union ever, strip club union election inclusive as ballots challenged. But the National Labor Relations Board vote count that could have resulted in the country's only unionized strip club. The strippers are unionizing because they understand. Well, you're laughing at me.
Hold on. I have an important question. Are those meetings open to the public?
I don't know. But my point is that the strippers are getting harassed, I'm telling you, and assaulted more than any other job out there by their employers, by their coworkers. I'm telling you, because like the job interview for a stripper has to be pure like modernization with cameras is probably less bad. But I'm sure 10 years ago is you had to sleep with the boss to get the job. Like I'm positive that's how the strip club world, not all strip clubs, don't misunderstand. I'm not saying they're all CD places.
Elegant and classy strip
clubs. No, I'm sure there's people that run it like businesses. But there's also podunk strip club where there's one strip club in 150 miles and there's only one restaurant in 150 miles. And that place, I'm telling you, I'm feeling not so kosher about this place.
Strippers don't have teeth in those.
But my point being, Lauren, that unionization is an answer. That's a solution. And the strippers are, and I think they're smart to try and get power. But really what we need, is that we need this new Congress, I think, and I'm calling on them to do this, to give more protections against retaliation, I have to tell you, and more PR about retaliation, and more protections about this non-disclosure, not, it's a good idea. And you know this is a brave Congress. Do you know why?
Why?
Because right after the election, do you know what the first thing that they did major? Anyone know?
Codify same-sex
marriage. Yeah, they're trying to do that. Codify same-sex and interracial marriage. So they're doing the right thing of what these issues are that's in front of us. But the Liebcast wants you all to come out in Congress and say, this is not enough. This is not enough. We need to do more to protect victims. And I guess if I'm not going to be so entertaining, if it's not going to be the show I want it to be, and Lauren, again, wake up.
Sorry, Charlie.
Well, I think that it's important that what we do today is we say, there is an old Florida man whose very being tells us, well, let's just say it like this. Let's go Stormy Daniels. This is the Liebcast.
Find us on social media at Listen to Lieb or visit listentolieb.com.